Opportunity to come here and exalt him and give him the praise and the honor that he so deserves. You know, you feel like you can't do enough. But that's all he asks. He don't ask for a lot. He just asks that you just love him and just serve him and give him the glory and honor he deserves. What an honor. Oh, this thing's a little slow. But we are still in understanding the words of Jesus. And in this section right here, you see it. He never, ever went with his feelings or went with his ways. He always surrendered his will to the Father. Everything he did, everything he said, he was always in the Father's will. And that's how, you know, that's the life that we should be mimicking, is his life. Exactly what he did. If he was successful in everything he did and surrendering his will to the Father, what make us think that we won't be successful? We would be very successful if we live according to our rabbi. So we're going to begin. And I would just want to read that our open verse in that John 6:63. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And we're going to see that at the pool with an impotent man. You know, the words that he spoke to him, it gave him life. It says, at the pool, the impotent man cured, Sabbath healing justified. Jesus, Yeshua, sonship set forth and searched the scriptures. And at age 30, Jerusalem pool of Bethesda, which is, if you ever do a little study on it, it's the pool of grace. You see that they refer to that pool of Bethesda as the pool of grace. And we are in John chapter 5, verse 1 through 47. I'm about to read through the Bible. John 5, starting with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Yeshua went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Meaning there was like five canopies almost, if you want to call it, that there all the blind and all those with all kind of diseases where they would sit underneath. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So after the waters was being stirred up, the first one there, it was the one that would be... cleansed from whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Yeshua saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? A certain man, out of all of them that was there, why this one man that Yeshua fixed his eyes on to perform this miracle in his body? The question was to attend the man's attention and to awaken his hope. Because you could imagine, for 38 years, day after day after day, he's by this pool and he's watching. He's watching the waters, you know, the angel do his thing in the water, and knowing that he's trying his hardest to get there. For 38 years, he can't walk, he can't move, he's withered. But his hope. Could you imagine that day after day? You know, your hope is, you tend to think, well, I mean, what is it? Why is it worth it? What's the worth? Let me just go ahead and die. I'm trying so hard, but somebody always beat me to it. So that question was, you think, oh, why you should have known? He had to have known. I mean, he knew everything, that the Father, it was his will to be there. But why that question? It was for him. It was for that man to help him. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another step down before me." Yeshua said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Yeshua gave him a command. The cures worked by Yeshua is perfect. He wanted him to know his cure was permanent. But he had to do something. He had to believe that what Yeshua has said, that it would be done in his life. You know, he said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Don't just rise and take up your bed. He said, "I want you to walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." And they was quoting scripture. I mean, they knew that you wasn't supposed to do something on the Sabbath. And we see, if I didn't put this in, but just go to Exodus 23:12. Two passages I'm going to read. Exodus 23:12 and Jeremiah 17:21. Exodus 23:12. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thy donkeys may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. In Jeremiah 17:21. "Thus say Yahweh, take heed to yourself and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gate of Jerusalem." So you got to understand that they knew that on the Sabbath, this is something that shouldn't have been done. They shouldn't have been bearing a burden on the Sabbath. He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." His reply reveals a higher law than that on the Sabbath. What he was trying to get them to understand was that he that gives life is the proper authority of its use. Not just an ordinary man, which he didn't know Yeshua, he didn't know that that was Jesus that told him to do that. He didn't have a clue. Because you see, when we read on, that they asked him, "What man?" And he couldn't even tell them who it was. But his reply reveals a higher law than that of the Sabbath. "He that gives life is the proper authority of its use." Then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" He didn't even know. The man who says, "The words that I speak are not my own, and the words that I speak is life." He didn't even know that. "And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Yeshua had conveyed himself away, and the multitude being in that place." So he wasn't, you know, he didn't stick around because he didn't want all the glory and the fame upon him. That's not what Yeshua was about. So he got away out of the presence of the multitude. "Afterward, Yeshua finding him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Notice where he found him. He found him in the temple. If I was to think or believe what he was doing, he probably was giving thanks to the Father in that temple, thanking God for what he has done in his body. And notice he says, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. All right, so I made you whole. Now you can walk. Now you can move. Now you can get into things. But be careful. Don't get into something. That was a humming. Don't get into something that can get you in trouble. Sin no more, lest a worse thing happens to you. And what was that worst thing that can happen? Death, dying, eternal death. So he was just warning him. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Yeshua which had made him whole. Not thinking that what they was had in mind to do him. It's just like any, if any one of us falls sick and you go to a doctor and, you know, he does what he does. And you say, man, that doctor saved my life. That's what he was basically doing right here. Man, that Yeshua saved my life. He was just proclaiming. He was excited, just like any one of us would be. We would proclaim it. And therefore did the Jews persecute Yeshua and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Yeshua answered them, my Father worketh hither and I work. What he's saying is Yahweh never stops working. What Yeshua was telling them was that when it comes to God, there is no Sabbath as they suppose. And that the healing was God's work. And that Elohim does not rest from doing good on a Sabbath. That's what he was letting them know. Yeah, Elohim don't take a day off. He's working every single day. Now, and thank God he works on the Sabbath, because people need healing on Sabbaths. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that Yahweh was his Father, making himself equal with Elohim. And this is where the sonship, this is where Yeshua proclaims the sonship set forth in verses 19 through 30. Then answered Yeshua and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he see the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I did exactly what the Father wanted, and he gave me the power to do it. That's what he's telling them in verse 19. When he says that the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he see the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I did exactly what he wanted me to do. And he gave me the power to heal on this Sabbath. Not my will, his will. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. And he will show them greater works than these. Meaning, he was going past the cross. That's greater works. Just getting to the cross was a great work, but he's going to show greater works than these. Verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quicketh them, even so the Son quicketh whom he will. And let's read Deuteronomy 32:29. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickened whom he will. Deuteronomy 32:29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider this latter end. 1 Samuel 2:6. Yahweh killeth and make it alive. He bring it down to the grave and bring it up. It's the Father that raised it up the dead. The power that believed was in the Father was likewise in the Son. For the Father judgeth no man, but had committed all judgment unto the Son. He quickens no matter how dead the person is, even if he has laid as long useless as the impotent man. The Father quickened no matter what it seems like or what it looks like. It's the Father who quickens no matter how dead the person is. The soul in verse 22, for the Father judged no man, but had committed all judgment unto the Son. He gave him all judgment unto the Son, because that was the sole mediator of the true life for all men is through Yeshua. You have to go through the Son in order to get to the Father. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death into life. Notice, though, you got to hear his word and believe it. On him that sent me had everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, which is passed from death unto life. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Yahweh, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father had life in himself, so had he given to the Son to have life in himself. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Yahweh, and they that hear it shall live. Verse 27, and had given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. They shall hear his voice, the ones that's in the grave. And he's speaking of the first resurrection. 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. No self-exaltation. Only by the Father's will he judges. He seeks only to carry out the will of the Father. That's what he's telling them in verse 30. I seek not my own will, only the will of the Father. I'm going to carry out his judgment. Even though all judgment was given to me, I'm still going to do what he tells me to do. Still going to stay in his will. 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witness of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. He said, I ain't bear witness of myself. There was one, John, who was before you, that bore witness of me. And it's true. Verse 34, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. But I have greater witness than these, that of John. For the works which the Father had given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father had sent me. Daily. This is what he's telling them. Daily the Father bore witness of me. The whole Torah. The whole Torah, the Father bear witness of me. And that's, I got a little ahead of myself a little while ago, and I talked about when he said, for the works which the Father had given me to finish, this is where he's talking about going past the cross. He went to the cross, but it's so past that that he's got to finish that work that he's talking about finishing. And the Father himself, which has sent me, have borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice, and heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And he's telling them, y'all haven't heard his voice at any time, and nor seen his shape, but I have. I've heard his voice, and I've seen his shape. He said, and he bore witness of me. The whole Torah, he bore witness of me. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he had sent him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So he's telling them, search the scriptures. The scriptures, you think that ye have eternal life in the scriptures, but search and testify that they are which they testify of me. The scriptures are talking about me. I am that eternal life. Me. And he will not come to me that ye might, and ye will not come to me that ye might have, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of Elohim in you. We can all put on the show. We can all put the show on, but what's in you? That's what he's saying right here in verse 42. You can act. But what's in you? What are you doing? But I know you that ye have not the love of Elohim in you. Verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive it honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from Elohim only? How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from Elohim only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? The Torah is all about Yeshua. That's what he's telling them in verse 46 through 47. You trusted in the Torah. You trusted in the Torah because you kept all the feast days. You kept all the these biblical holidays, but didn't believe it. That's what he's telling them. You didn't believe it. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? In Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 58, these are some of the writings that they're talking about, that Moses was talking about Yeshua in the Torah. 18:15-18. Yahweh thy Elohim will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of Yahweh thy Elohim, in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of Yahweh my Elohim, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And Yahweh said unto them, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. He's telling them, this is the whole Torah. I'm going to raise up that prophet. But what he's saying, if you didn't believe Moses' word, how are you going to believe me? Moses spoke of me. Desire for the praise of men often blinds the mind and prejudices the spirit. Prejudice the spirit. The desire for the praise of men often blinds the mind. You know, we can get caught up in that. We want to praise man, praise man, praise man. And there's only one that should be praised, that we should be praising. The voice of Yeshua gives life eternal. It was through his word, Jesus, Yeshua, conveyed life to the impotent man, because that brought him into spiritual connection with the man. But to hear is not enough belief on him that sent Yeshua. But to hear is not enough belief on him that sent Yeshua must accompany hearing. Not simply belief on Yeshua, but on Elohim. The word of Yeshua must be recognized as a divine message, a word with power to fulfill it. And I think this is the last statement. As the impotent man had in his believing physical life, so whoever believes in Yeshua's word as Elohim's message receives eternal life. Whoever believes in Yeshua's word as Elohim's message receives eternal life. We are all by nature impotent folks, in spiritual things blind, halt, and withered. We are all by nature impotent folks. We all needed a Savior. We all got to believe what Yeshua is saying. Believe in his word. And that's all I have for tonight. Tomorrow, we will start on Christ reads in synagogues at Nazareth, eludes angry hearers, and begins to preach repentance. So we have a choice. We have, what are we doing in this matter? Are we just going through the motions? Or are we taking heed to the word and applying it to our life and believing it? Just like he was trying to get them to understand right here. You know, it's not me. It's my Father. I surrender my will to him on a daily basis. He bore witness of me. Y'all didn't believe the Torah. Y'all read it, y'all understand it, but y'all didn't believe in it. It wasn't in y'all. Y'all trusted it, but they didn't believe it. They trusted it, but they didn't believe it. And I tell you, we have to not only trust in the Torah, but we have to believe it. Everything that, the whole Bible, not just the Torah, the whole Bible. We have to believe in it. But, like I said, that's all I have. I thank y'all for tonight, for coming out and letting me share this, what this meant to me. And I tell you, this understanding the words, going back through this is so incredible. So incredible. And it's so important to our lives and that we apply it to our lives. So, thank y'all. I appreciate y'all taking the time out to come on here on a Saturday night. Any prayer? Anybody needs prayer? Sister Gloria. Oh, come on. You come here. In case, I know we all got the text about this situation, and this is a serious matter. The enemy, he wants to attack your mind, and But I want to tell you first that he delivered you from this once before. But we have to, you have to be all in. Even, and not just him, us. You can't serve him on your terms. You can't serve him when things are going bad. That's, he wants a personal relationship with you. And the enemy is attacking you because he's, as a, God wants, you can reach so many people's lives. From a little boy, everybody wanted, loved Eli. Adults loved Eli. Kids talked about Eli daily, constantly. And the enemy, when you gave your heart and your life to God, the enemy hated that. And he went out on an all-out attack, and he attacked that mind. And, you know, we prayed and we came against it. But, you know, you get relaxed. Sometimes we forget what the Father done for us. And not only you, I've done it personally. Forgot what he did for me. Forgot that he delivered me. Forgot that he gave his son for me. And, but all he wants is to a humbleness to say, Father, I'm sorry. I messed up. Forgive me. That's all he wants. It's not a hard thing that you have to do, like you got to do. It's just to say, Father, forgive me, and I'm sorry. So we're going to come against this tonight. I mean, there's no way we're going to just cover you and ask him to protect that mind, because he gets you thinking crazy things, and you never know, you know, what the outcome of these type of situations going to be. But we're going to come against it, this full out attack against your mind again. And by his grace is so good. He's willing. He'll do it. He'll did it once before and he'll do it again. But you got to believe it. But you got to sell out. You got to sell out. You can't one day just not want to come to church, or not want to read the Bible, or not want to praise and worship. You got to do it with everything that is in you. And that's what he's wanting to do in your life. He's going to show you that I delivered you one time before, and I'm going to do it again because I love you and I care about you. Amen. So stand and just,
As soon as I seen you walk up, I already knew I had